This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Wednesday, April 24th, 2013. I'm Caleb Brown. Are all the good jobs gone? In the United States, it's more complicated than that. So says Cato Institute Senior Fellow Brink Lindsay, author of the book Human Capitalism, How Economic Growth Has Made Us Smarter and More Unequal. We spoke last week. Thomas Edsel writes in the New York Times, very simply, the headline is, "Are the good jobs gone?" And of course, that ties directly to a lot of the work that you're doing on why growth in the United States, at least, and worldwide is getting harder. What do you take away from what he's got to say?
I think that that the headline should really read, "Are good jobs gone for people with less than a college degree?" Because the focus of this article is on something that's called labor market polarization. That is, the decline or the relative decline in middle skill jobs. So we have a continuum from low skill jobs to high skill jobs. And once upon a time, the growth was such that the fastest growth was in the highest skill jobs and the lowest growth was in the lowest skill jobs. And so that over time, there was a general upskilling of the whole occupational structure. Over the past 20 years or so, though, there has been growth in high-skilled jobs and growth in low-skilled jobs, but middle-skilled jobs growth has been flagging. These are jobs that have some kind of expertise but are generally routine. And what has happened to those is that they have either been automated or outsourced to low-wage countries. And so we have this so-called polarization of the labor market. These middle-skilled jobs happen to be the top-level jobs for people without college degrees. So what has happened over the past 20 years is a kind of declining prospects for upward mobility for people without college degrees. And this is part of a larger picture of this divergence between high-skilled workers and everybody else. So that back in 1980, the average college grad made only 30% more than the average high school grad. Today, it's 70%.
So for people who are low-skill, there was a general trend for those individuals to move up, or just a general trend?
A general trend over time for the jobs to change and therefore for there to be more opportunities at higher skill levels for everybody. So now what has happened is that the future isn't so bright for people that that only have middle skill levels. The future really belongs much more to people who have high skills, and that boils down to getting a college degree in contemporary American society. The real puzzle is, why aren't people responding to this signal? With this ramp up in the college wage premium, this more than doubling of it, that's a signal that the market is sending to people saying, we need more highly trained, highly schooled, highly skilled people, and yet folks aren't responding, and in particular, men aren't responding. There has been a continuing increase in college attendance and college completion by women since 1980. But the college completion rate for men is stuck where it was back in 1980. And that really puzzles economists. Why aren't people responding to price signals? And it turns out that at the same time that we're having this labor market polarization, this economic polarization, we're also having cultural polarization. The home environments for kids of less skilled workers are now very different than the home environments of kids of college-educated workers. Having children out of marriage has gone way up amongst high school grads and high school dropouts. It stayed very low for college grads. Divorce for everybody went up in the 60s and 70s, but then went way down for college-educated people and has stayed high for everybody else. So that now about 90% of the kids of college-educated parents live in two-parent households, whereas for the kids of high school grads or high school dropouts, only about 50% of them live in two-parent households. And there's some very interesting recent research by David Autor of MIT, who was mentioned in the Edsel piece and who has been a real pioneer in analyzing labor market polarization. He's now got interesting things to say about cultural polarization, because this new paper by him and Melanie Wasserman from Third Way, which is a center-left think tank, is pointing out that the negative impact of being raised in a single-parent household, which we've known about for a long time, is much worse for boys than it is for girls. And so this cultural polarization occurring at the same time as economic polarization means that the gap between highly skilled and less skilled people is growing at the very same time that it's harder for less skilled people to get ahead because their home environment isn't very good.
Now, for most people who are gaining skills, that is to say going to college, they're not in the workforce.
Right.
How does that poses a challenge, I would assume, to people who are coming from lower income homes as well?
So you mean the affordability of college?
Well, not just that, that you're not participating in the workforce, that getting skills necessarily means making an upfront investment,
if you will. So that's right. So you do have to delay entry into the workforce. There is an opportunity cost of lost wages. There is the outlay of paying for skyrocketing tuition costs and going farther into debt. So that there is a financial barrier that could potentially keep people from more modest backgrounds out of college. But at the same time that we've had this ramp up in college costs, we've also had ramp up in financial aid and in college subsidies. So it appears that the main barrier to people going to college isn't money. That James Heckman is a Nobel Prize winning economist. He's analyzed this. He says that only about 8% of young people are currently priced out of higher education by financial factors. The main reason more people aren't going to college is because they aren't ready for college level work, so that K through 12 is failing them.
On the subject of what we ought to do about it, President Obama has laid out his plans, and that includes paying people more for the same skills, in some cases, very low skilled people, minimum wage people, and preschool, pushing pre-K for all.
Yeah, so clearly progressive generally and the Obama administration in particular have been very focused on the issue of inequality, and a number of Obama administration initiatives have focused on trying to reduce inequality by redistribution. They've raised the top tax rate for high earners, and meanwhile, through the Affordable Care Act, have expanded subsidies for the less well-off. As the Edsel piece notes, a recent article by Annie Lowry in the New York Times shows, though, that inequality has actually been getting worse in the Obama administration, and the basic problem of falling incomes for the median household has continued during the Obama administration. And this highlights the difficulty of dealing with the results of sort of deep tectonic social forces through redistribution. What is amiss in American society can't be papered over by redistribution. What is needed is ultimately a real dramatic change in our educational system, so that people who come from less advantaged family backgrounds have the opportunity through schooling to develop the skills they need to thrive and flourish in a modern economy. At the present day, our government monopoly schooling system is completely failing in that mission. Instead of mitigating class differences and expanding opportunity to everyone, what it's really doing is simply perpetuating class differences. People come into pre-K with big gaps in their school readiness based basically on socioeconomic background and on the education levels of their parents, and then those gaps just get bigger during K through 12. So unless we have really dramatic changes in how education is structured and delivered, I think no public policy steps are going to have much impact on improving the economic prospects of the less skilled and raising their skill levels over time.
Brink Lindsey is a senior fellow at the Cato Institute and author of Human Capitalism: How Economic Growth Has Made Us Smarter and More Unequal. You can read more of his work on inequality and economic growth at cato.org.